it's difficult for us in our American way of life, without rules about food and so forth, to understand the issue that Peter faces here. You don't associate with those who, today, the very devout Muslims will not have much to do with anybody else, certainly at table fellowship. If you want to go to their table, they'll feed you, but they never come to yours because they don't know where all this meat came from, how it was slaughtered, how it was. As I say, you know, we just go to McDonald's and whatever's there, we eat, you know. They don't. So this is the confrontation. We heard that you entered the house of uncircumcised people and ate with them. That's never done. So Peter tells them how. And he starts telling about this vision and so forth. And that helps people relax. Well, God did this. And then, as he began to speak, he's telling them, as I began to speak, he's explaining now, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as it had upon us at the beginning. And so, what makes the church one? We've all received the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us one. So there are no divisions. You know, and Paul outlines them, another, no Jew, Greek, rich, poor, and all that. No, we all have the same spirit, you see. So when Peter finished his witness, they stopped objecting and glorified God, saying, God has then granted life-giving repentance. Isn't that beautiful? It doesn't say God has given them the Holy Spirit. No, first, repentance. To the Gentiles, too. In the Gospel, we start chapter 10. We finish chapter 6, all about the Eucharist. And now, as we go through Easter, the next thing is, who runs the church? Jesus. And he runs the church by his voice. Now the image here is of a big sheepfold where maybe three or four of the shepherds put their sheep at night to protect them. And at least one of them stays there and sleeps. When I lived in Canada, you know, they are a great problem. The wolves kill the sheep, but so do the wild dogs. And so the farmer would bring the destroyed sheep to the government, and the government would reimburse him. But then the government decided, there are no wolves around here. So the farmers had to come and say, you know, the dogs killed my sheep. And so then you'd say there are wolves, and they'd say, look at the records. All the sheep have been killed by dogs, you see. You just don't get it. So, but over there, the shepherds, it's almost disappeared because of the advance of the cities and all the, but in the country, you know, three or four shepherds would put their sheep in the same sheepfold and protect them at night, a high stone wall and all the rest. And in the morning, they'd call, and every sheep knew the call of his shepherd. So they'd follow him. And when the little ones were born, you see, well, they followed their parents. So they got, oh, that's the one I follow, you see. So what's the challenge to us? Do we hear his voice? Do we recognize the voice? Do we follow the voice? Can Jesus really speak to us and guide us? He promises. Isn't this what he says he's going to do? Do we listen? Do we try? To try to listen to that voice and follow it? Can we tell the difference between that voice and every other voice? That's what our Lord is describing here. And in the description, you see, he's promising that if we will begin to obey, we will be able to make out which voice is his. Because he will help us. And that's very important. That's very important. Because the Lord Jesus is the Lord of the church, and he guides the church as a shepherd. That means he wants to speak to every single person and guide them. Well, that means a life of prayer and getting used to his voice so that we follow it. Whoever enters through me will be saved. You see, will come in and go out and find pasture. I promise it. You beg every day to hear my voice, and I will teach you how to hear my voice every day. That's a basic presupposition of the Christian life. We hear his voice. And so let's pray that we do. All right, let's stand and pray.